Hello, and welcome to another edition of Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate a black film genius with a squee! I am your co-host, Enda Lauren.
I am Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on social media.
Together, we are Black Girl Squee on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcast, and Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, except we think for Stitcher and Spotify. I'm not sure. Black Girl Squee has a Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. We'd really appreciate your support to help keep us going. We are both on Twitter individually. I am at Ender's Corner, and as Dee Dee said, she's at Dust Star, and of course the podcast is at Black Girl Squee. You can also email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. Our podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcast, and your favorite podcatcher by using our RSS feed. And of course you can find all of our episodes at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. Okay, and so a bit of housekeeping. We do have a spoiler policy, and that policy is we spoil shit, and we are sorry. And also, we squee really loud, and we cuss a lot, and we talk about dick, and I cannot wait until we get into this today. So, as you can see, not sorry about that either.
In fact, very happy.
I am ecstatic.
And excited.
Yay, pain!
Maybe we should add another part to this where we say that we ain't shit.
That's another disclaimer. So
yeah, but we're 67 episodes in. They should know by now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So with that, let's get into some squeeworthy news. Do you wanna?
All right. I guess we'll run through this very quick. Just a recap from the Oscars, the good stuff from the Oscars, not the bullshit at the end.
Yes.
Where they gave it to some fuck-ass movie that didn't even center the most interesting character in the whole thing. So.
And wasn't even about what the title was about.
Basically. They really need to give that title back. Oscar recap real quick. Regina King won the only award for If Beale Street Could Talk. She won Best Supporting Actress and thanked her director, Barry Jenkins, for nurturing the project.
Yay!
Ruth E. Carter won Best Costume Design for Black Panther and thanked director Spike Lee for giving her start.
Yay!
And Hannah Beekler won Best Production Design for Black Panther and thanked Ryan Coogler for opening doors for her.
Also, yay! He should have been nominated for Best Director.
Yes, so should Barry Jenkins.
Yep,
but
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
They didn't even nominate him for Best Picture. So,
and had two spaces. Could have gone to Bill Street,
yes,
and Widows.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm not going to get into that because I will be here all day complaining. I will forever be bitter.
And some of those other spots could have gone to women directors, but
yeah,
what do I know?
Yeah, just also for Oscar, just want to say real quick, black women, black people, and actually a bunch of other people of color, as always, showed up and showed out on the red carpet.
Billy fucking Porter. Whew. That's all you need to say. He shut it down.
I wanted to lay in that skirt. It looked so soft and lush.
Mm-hmm.
It just did. So yeah, he won. He won the night.
Yes, he won the internet.
Yes,
and managed to honor Hector Extravaganza.
Yes,
at the same time, I think Hector I think he ran a house, one of the houses.
Yeah.
One of the houses for gay and trans youth of color in New York. Much like Miss Evangelista in Pose.
Yes.
So, yeah, Billy's always doing the damn thing.
Yes, he
looked
did.
Great. He looked
he really
great.
Did.
So that was the good stuff from Oscars, of course. Mahershala made history as well, but you know, this is Black Girl Squee, and we already talked about him last time in DWIDP. So, but you know, congratulations to him. And I guess we can kind of congratulate Octavia Spencer. She was a producer on the picture that
nobody
won Best
acknowledged
Picture.
Her. Because I guess they didn't need to have her as a shield. I don't know.
She was just a prop anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm just waiting for Mahershala to lose what's his name's number, that director, and because he don't need him now. He won two Oscars in 3 years. Fuck that guy. So, anyways, congratulations to all these great Black women who won Oscars. Many of whom are the first in their first Black women to win such awards in 91 years.
Yeah.
So, to them we give a...
Okay. You really gonna make me do this? Okay. So... I guess this is Squee Worthy as well, but it turns out
Oh my God! No, don't you qualify it like that? No, just read it. Read it how it say.
Okay. So as Stevie has written in our notes here, published author Iqdalar named one of 2019's women to read, and this is from Book Smugglers, which is I was not expecting this. I was just kind of knocked out and surprised when I saw this. But Women to Read is a regular column spotlighting women authors of speculative fiction and recommending a piece of their work to start reading. And it recommended a story that you may know the name, Death's Daughter, which was published in Uncanny Magazine last month. And
we talked about it on this very show.
Yes, we did. And this is from the article, and I have to give the reference. I'm so sorry I forgot your name, hun. But this was... very nice verse. The story is beautifully written and confronts the idea of who is allowed to have power as death and the other women break out of externally imposed constraints and make room for themselves to flourish and grow. And that was among some very other kind, you know, words, you know, about story. And I'm actually really rather touched by it. So thanks to Book Smugglers. Thanks to the Women to Read column. And yeah.
Well, I thank you for writing the damn thing. So, to end the Lauren, I'm going to give a big squee!
Okay. All right.
So, speaking of published authors, non-binary trans author has been nominated for Women's Prize in Fiction. And this is coming from the Guardian website. Nigerian writer Akweke Emezi has been nominated for their first novel called Fresh Water. And this is the first time in the 27-year history of the award that a non-binary or trans author has been nominated. Emezi is on a long list of 16 books that have been nominated this year. From the article, it describes their first novel, Fresh Water, as a coming-of-age story following a child, Ada, who is born with Igbo spirits as a challenge from a deity to Ada's Catholic father.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I need to read this. Judges say they were not aware of Amezi's gender identity and nominated the book based on its merits. The book is also nominated for the 2019 Lambda Literary Award. So, high praise. And congratulations to Okoike Emezi for being nominated. And also on their successful first novel.
Yes.
So to them we give a...
All right. Okay, so something else. I was actually kind of hoping it was going to be different, but I'll take this. Asia Naomi King joins Tessa Thompson and Sylvie, and it stars, well, like I said, Tessa Thompson, and I hope I say his name correctly.
Namdi Asomugha.
Namdi Asomugha. Yeah. Ryan Michelle Bath, and also now Asia Naomi King. And as the article said, the film follows Sylvie, who played by Thompson, a woman who meets saxophonist Robert, who is Asomugha, when he takes a job in his father's record store. Years later, after a whirlwind summer romance, they meet once again and realize the love between each other has died. And when I first saw this, the way they named it, I was really kind of hoping it was going to be a romance between Asha Naomi King and Tessa Thompson. Because I'm like, I want to see that romance. I mean, nothing against you, Asomugha, but I would have rather seen the other romance. And yeah, but you know, this is good, like Black Cat stuff, and you know, this actually looks promising. So we'll see how that works out. So to Asia Naomi King, Tessa Thompson, Ryan Michelle Bath. And yeah, Namdi Asomugha. I'm going to make sure I get that right. We give a big...
That's a pretty cast.
Yes.
That is a pretty, pretty cast.
All right. So wait. No, we talked about my writing.
No, we need to go to Indus Corner.
No. Because I didn't actually hear about this until I saw you tweeting about it. I want you to tell me.
Now it's time. In this corner. Da, 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 da.
All right. Okay, so in this corner, you may have heard me say something like the past couple of shows about a singer-songwriter named Adia Victoria. And, well, she has a article in a profile in the New York Times and says Adia Victoria wants to make the blues dangerous again. So she had a lot to say about this. So, you know, definitely you want to go check out this article and you definitely want to go into that album. But she says that the blues isn't a sound. I think that's something that white people have really gone and goofed on, thinking that they've pegged down the blues and they can package it. When you do that, then some wily black woman is going to come and subvert you every single time. And here I am. The blues needs to move. You say that shit, Atia.
She had a lot of stuff to say on Twitter. Apparently, she's not happy with the way that people, white people, are reviewing her work.
And she straight out came and said she wished there were more black women, you know, critics, music critics, you know, who would give, you know, better nuance to by black women, you know, in music. So, like, yeah, she's been saying it, and she's not being quiet about it, you know. But, yeah, anyway, she grew up in South Carolina as a Seventh-day Adventist, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't follow that anymore. I mean, she's like our pagan witch queen here, even if she's not a pagan, she's kind of, we've claimed her as one of ours.
I mean, in that first song, she's already killing people and saying there is no God in the first song.
Yeah,
anyway,
she's done a lot. You know, she's traveled to France, you know, Brooklyn. And she's worked as a telemarketer in Atlanta to support herself. So she's been through some stuff. It's coming through in this album, which I love, love, love. It's like in my top three for the year already. No, so. Yeah, so like I said before, it's called Silences. It's out now. Please go check it out. You will not be disappointed, especially if you're like me. Also, we got some new releases from Little Sims. That album is called Gray Areas. And listen, I noticed that everybody who's not doing mumble rap now are black women. I mean, like, these really good flows, these really great lyrics, they are all coming from black women now, but people keep ignoring them, and then they want to complain about there's nothing good in rap and hip-hop right now. I'm like, that's because you're not listening to black women. Anyway, Lil Sims is British. Yeah.
Can I just add, the only people that have anything to say in rap or in most music in general tends to be black women, but whatever.
Yep.
I digress.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, yeah, they're good. I mean, even, what's her name? She was Megan Thee Stallion. She's put mm-hmm. out a song called Big Old Freak. It's really good, and she's really talented, okay? But people are wanting to focus on, because she's pretty mainstream pretty, you know? And people want to focus on it, and then apparently, you know, she said, like, that she likes anime, so of course the Ashy Brigade decided, oh, y'all think she likes anime, and like, mm-hmm. no, because she's pretty, she can't like anime. Don't even get me started on that. But anyway, So listen to black women in rap and in hip hop, because that's where all the good shit is. Speaking of which, Solange dropped a new album as well. You may have heard, you know, about that, unless you were living in a cave. It's called When I Get Home. And it's interesting because where you kind of see a seat at the table is her acclimating to New Orleans, where she's been living for quite some time now. When I Get Home, of course, it's back to Houston, and because they are from Houston, and so this was kind of like her return home to those roots. And of course, everybody is talking about the Black Yeehaw agenda now, which I find hilarious. I find it really funny, but you know, it's harmless, I think. But yeah, this is also because we're. A Seat at the Table was kind of more like neo soul like, and you know, more in that type of R&B. When I Get Home does feel more based in hip hop and, you know, rap with that type of backdrop and kind of
definitely a lot of chopped
exactly
through
yeah
southern
yeah
hip-hop
kind of yeah
type style.
Yeah, definitely kind of has a feel of like a mixtape that just kind of flows through, you know, it all just kind of connects and comes together. So so she's, you know, still doing it her way, still doing it different, but I need to, and for some reason, I still haven't even watched the video.
Yeah, it's only available on Apple Music right now, but there, you know, I think the Almeida video you can see on YouTube, but everything else
I think
is
she's done
exclusive, I guess.
Yeah.
It's wild that this stuff is not exclusive to Tidal, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe she's getting more money from Apple Music. Get your coins, girl.
Or maybe she's too. Maybe she still ain't forgave.
Maybe he ain't forgave her for the two-piece. But
but anyway, that's Solange. She's still doing the damn thing. I'm really glad, you know, she's kind of this. She's been consistent at creative, you know, ever since she dropped her seat at the table and almost 3 years ago. So yeah,
I like how she kind of hijacked Hozier's release date. Because he's been ramping up his shit for the last month. And Solange just said, I'm going to just drop my shit.
On
nobody's going to notice.
Midnight, the last day of Black History Month, the first day of Women's History Month.
Right?
Just bridge those things together and hold your who?
Yeah. I mean, I like that. Yeah, he's one of the few Irish dudes I actually like. But I was banging out Solange most of this week. Warning, do not listen to this while you're driving. you will lose your sense of direction. I did. It's really smooth. It's really smooth, and it can have you out here lost and late for work. Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right. And okay, so I think that's all with releases. Oh, wait.
No, it is not.
I forgot. Spelling is another one. I forgot. Her album is called Maisie Fly. It's also really, really good. And it's one of the ones, it was released on February 22nd. So now I have like four really good albums that were released on February 22nd. So all was not lost in that Black History Month. Okay, so I just mentioned that. Okay, so yeah, that was another album.
And?
Oh, girl.
No, there's okay. Something you need to plug.
So, I play lots of this type of stuff on the Black Swan Collective. And also, yeah, sometimes those are musical backdrops to my other, my essay, audio essay series in this corner, if I should remember what it's called. But yeah, and both of those are on Mixcloud.com/Indolorn. She wants me to say the whole.
Yes, that's how people can find you. Mixcloud.com/Indolorn.
Okay.
It will also be in the show notes. Listen to this shit, damn it. You need to be listening to these artists. So,
right. Okay.
Thank you for the trip to Indus Corner.
All right. So, with that, we have to move on to something a bit less pleasant, but needs to be said. And so this is where somebody has got to catch the fade. And so Didi, I think it was something right. You wanted to talk about.
This will be quick because yeah, I know you want to get to the bean. Every time one of the Knowles sisters puts something out, somebody has to talk. Somebody feels like they have to talk down about the other sister to lift up one of them. So, and this usually happens when Solange drops something and they're like, oh wow, you know, Beyonce could never do anything like this. Oh yeah, they're sisters, they love each other, they support each other's work. There, you can find similar visual themes in their videos. You can find each other in their other videos. Like Solange is in Beyonce's videos all the time. They love and support each other's work. Beyonce posted some of Solange's videos for When I Get Home on her Instagram to make sure people see it. Because she loves and supports her sister. So stop trying to tear one down to make the other one look good. Yes. Or make yourself look good or whatever. It's annoying. So anyway,
all right. So that was a brief catch to fade, but yeah, okay, so that just gives us a little bit more time for this week in Dat Prince.
Hey.
And so today, who are we going to be? Who's our next
star of the day?
You may know.
Our inductee, yes, into the Pantheon of Peen
is Adam Beach. Yeah.
Hey.
For some reason, somehow, I don't know how, if you do not know who he is an actor. He is from Manitoba, Canada, and of course he is a First Nations person. So I think his people, let me see, I don't know if I say this right, Salto, he's a member of the Salto First Nations. And so he has a long resume, a long filmography. He's 46 years old. He was born in 72.
Scorpio.
Number 11. And he's most known for like roles like in Smoke Signals and Suicide Squad, which, you know, I still didn't see. I mean, as much as I love him and those, I still just couldn't bring myself to watch that film. But, you know, he's done like several television shows like Law and Order SVU. And the reason why he's here today is because you may have heard of a Netflix film called Juanita, starring Alfre Woodard. And in this film, he gets second billing to Alfre Woodard, playing her love interest, Jess Gardner. And let me tell you, I'm just kind of obsessed with the film right now. I loved it. I can, you know, we can talk about, you know, any problematic or, you know, just not so good points of filmmaking about it. I don't care. This is what I needed. And listen, Adam Beach was in that film looking like a thick snack. I mean, he's kind of a big dude, so I mean, I'm with that. And you just give me an attractive man in an apron cooking any day, and he's always, girl, yes.
Oh, he's cooking?
Yeah, see, he's a French-trained chef, and so, you know, he's trying to create this fine dining experience, you know, in their town of Paper Moon there, but it's like Alfred Woodard shows up, and oh, it was so good because she's trying to get him to just make her a simple, you know, breakfast, you know, fried eggs, you know, bacon, you know, crispy bacon and some biscuits, but I have croissants, you know, and hollandaise sauce, and like, and then finally he just gets fed up. Look, I'll lend you an apron, and then you can, you know, make it yourself. But much to his surprise, she follows him to make the breakfast herself. But it's just from the very beginning, these two, they're kind of back and forth, but it's also that attraction is there. And did you watch it yet? I'm trying to think, should I spoil it? Mm-mm. Because, I mean, it's kind of a small spoiler, but I mean,
is the spoiler that they fuck?
Girl.
Because doesn't spoil it for me.
I did not know I needed to see Adam Beach dicking down with Afri Woodard until I saw it.
The universe knows what you need when you need it.
I mean, it's not like graphic, it's explicit because, I mean, clearly they are fucking. But man, I was like, holy shit, y'all really gave me this.
Man, Audrey Woodard, man, Netflix is doing right by her.
Netflix giving her all the 40-something pain. Yes. All the quality fame. And I am here for all of it.
Kudos.
Girl, get it. Get it. Oh, man. And just, girl, I'm just like, and he was the noisy one. Like, oh, my God. He was like,
holy shit, I need to watch this immediately.
Giving it to her.
Okay.
I mean, the whole scene is like, it's not even, it's barely like 30 seconds, though. The whole scene is barely 30 seconds, but still, it was just like, this is some grown folks fucking, this is quality grown
folks. Terrence Nance spoken into the universe. And Netflix gave it to us.
I told you we went shit already. But oh man, look, I'm 40 years old. I need to know. Like, sex does not stop at like 36. Because apparently, if you look at anything else, apparently it does. But Alfred Woodard in real life is 64. And yeah, she's in her 60s.
You better get it in with everybody. Who else can be in her next movie?
Girl. Oh, that reminds me.
Coleman Domingo.
I might pass out and never recover. I might. I just might. But yeah, she's getting it. We actually get to see her get it in with Adam Beach in that film. And like, you do not see two people of color in interracial romances like this. And they actually, and just a note, I mean, they actually have like an entire you know, Native community in this, because that's kind of where she ends up in this Native community. And I won't talk about an ending that I really like, but it was, I actually thought it was really kind of beautiful the way it came, you know, the way it came across, but all. But yeah, and then, I mean, just to see that these two people, they're clearly digging each other, and he's not really, you know, like, demanding that, I mean, even though, you know, he likes her, he wants her to stay, and but she tells him, you know, this isn't my last stop, and he's kind of cool with it. Like, you know, well, if, you know, when you come back, I'm going to be here. You know, so they're just mature. They're mature, and they're in a fucking adult relationship, and I don't get to see that, especially with Black women. Excuse me. So, yeah, that was good. But also, just, we can probably talk about him some more another day, but I just wanted, because he's in the movie too, honorable mention here, Blair Underwood. He shows up a couple of times, like, because she's fantasizing, but it is so, so funny. Yeah, and first of all, he's actually still really hot too. I mean, he aged well, and he's never wearing a shirt. In some scenes, he's not even really wearing clothes, and so, you know, we really do appreciate that. But, you know, the scenes he's in, they are so funny. They are so funny.
Hey, that's,
she's fantasizing. I just cackled because every time she kept calling him by his full name, Blair Underwood.
Black people, usually Black people call actors by their character names, but no. That's, but you know, when you're Blair Underwood, you gotta, no, call him.
He's Blair Underwood playing Blair Underwood.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm telling you, it is hilarious. Oh, it is hilarious. But yes, but yeah, so that is our BWIDP. Thank you very much, Adam Beach, for giving Alfred Woodard your all so we could giving your all intensely for that 30 seconds.
For that 30 seconds. Netflix can, they gave us a whole scene of full frontal nudity in Roma. Netflix, you can give us a longer than a 30 second sex scene. You can do
it. It was
that.
Still. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yeah.
This movie was directed by Clark Johnson, who some of you may remember from Homicide: Life on the Street.
Oh, yeah. He's been directing everything.
So. Go ahead. And he's also,
he did. I think he's directed some of The Walking Dead. Too. Clark stays booked and busy in front
money,
of them
Clark?
Behind
Go
the camera.
Ahead. Go ahead. Get your money, Black man.
Yeah.
So,
for my money, he did a pretty good job telling a woman's story. You know, it's a pretty good job.
Well, based on a woman's book, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. And Afri Wood's husband adapted the screenplay.
Well, go ahead.
He's white, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay. Interesting.
So. Yeah. But it actually. For what it was, it actually turned out pretty well. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, you know exactly what I enjoyed most, but I enjoyed it.
You just described it in detail. Yes. But yeah, so shout out to those men. Shout out to Idrissa Hakuna Elba, who will be hosting Saturday Night Live tonight. I just remembered that. Speaking of Black that doesn't crack.
And apparently doesn't give up on his rap dreams and actually has some bangers.
Yes. Yeah, he's on some track with Sean Paul right now. And I was just too busy looking at him to really notice if he had any bars. I mean, he might be good. He might be good. I might never know.
Yeah, the shirt. He's wearing shirts and they're distracting. So, you know, take the shirt off and maybe we can hear you better.
Mm-hmm. Feel focus. Yes. Help us focus. Yes. So. Not shit.
Not at all.
So. Girl, catch your breath, because you gotta do women's vocab. After we've been decidedly non-womanist.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So, today. Okay. Geez. All right. Okay, today. Ooh. I'm sorry. Just all the fun. Okay. Anyway. Woman's vocab. Today's woman's vocab word is heterosexism. Heterosexism includes a system of bias that assumes heterosexuality as the default identity and perpetuates homophobia. This assumption of heterosexual identity means that heterosexism is in the fabric of societal institutions, laws, and policies, so the needs and concerns of non-heterosexual people are not met. For instance, allowing hospital visits to the spouse of a quote-unquote opposite gender is heterosexism and does not allow for concessions to same-sex or other gender spouses and partners, especially where same-sex unions are not recognized by law. Heterosexism. All right. Yeah, I think the whole Terry Crews thing inspired me to go ahead and go with that one again today, because that was pretty
people disgusting. Really let you down, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But yeah, so that is our show. And as we said before, we're Black Girl Squeak on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/blackgirlsqueak. I am on Twitters as Enda, and Dee Dee is at Death's Daughter, and together we are at Black Girl Squee. And you can find our email at, or contact us by email at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, and your favorite podcatcher by using our RSS feed. And of course, all our episodes are up at blackgirlsquee.simcast.fm. So, until next time, bye!
Bye!